Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and reality competitions. I am your host, Dan Morin, and joining me this week are our amazing finalist contestants, the king of the internet himself, John Multz.
I have come to do battle with you.
And from the great white north, it is the English guy himself, Guy English.
I don't want to seem all Johnny C about this, but you got to cut that out, man. That's really annoying.
You're on brand.
You could have done that in character. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Can you tell the difference, though? I'm not sure I can.
I mean, he's a grumpy guy from Newcastle, which is exactly me.
So. He's got a better coat, though.
He has a much better coat. Yeah.
We are here to discuss Legends of Tomorrow, Season 6, Episode 3, entitled The X Factor. That's EX. God damn it, guys. Stop with all these titles. I have to spell out so that people get the joke, okay? It's really annoying. And on recap duty himself, none other than Guy Anglais.
Oh, for crying out loud.
He's still doing it.
Goodbye.
He's still doing it.
It's not even like, wow, I haven't heard that one before.
He's doing it just to be as annoying as the guy, as you know, the show was.
Yep, that's my goal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Well, it's more shame on you. It's more shame on you.
Well played.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I heard that correctly.
Yeah. Okay, Space Dude shows up and kills Zari's ex-boyfriend, thinking he's a king. And our gang is off in time to go and stop it. Sarah's in bad shape with a nasty infection from her bite, and she's still hanging out with Gary. Zari glams it up so that Nate and Eva can sneak into the singing competition. DJ S'more is judging. They were dating, what, like last year? Something like that?
When they introduced Zari, she was dating him.
Oh, she was in, like, bimbo mode.
Second right? Zari, right?
Yeah. Robo Guy ends up fighting Nate, and I've got Batroc, but I'm pretty sure I meant to say
Bayrod. Yeah.
Yeah, my autocomplete has all kinds of weird, stupid names in it now. And everybody just assumes it's part of the show, and they really enjoy it and get all into it, so that's kind of fun. Nate, answering my question from last week, Nate does turn into Colossus still, so...
Yes.
Cool. Legally distinct.
Yeah. Legally distinct metal man. Yeah. Spooner and Mick are hanging out on the ship. Not much going on. He's just being a dick this week. Eva tricks Nox into being captured, and he explains that his prime directive is to kill the rulers of worlds, and then the invasion fleet comes and takes him over. And they convince him to enter the dance-off instead by telling him that on their world, you elect leaders through dance competition, which not an unappealing idea. Zari manages to enter the competition as a secret entry, and she wins her first matchup. In alien form, Gary eats the death squad that was hunting them from last week, and Sarah sees a vision of Eva, and she wanders off to find her. Gary unmasks a soldier that he's managed to knock down and discovers that it's an Eva clone. And Eva's delicious. John overhears Zari telling her mom that it's just a fling for her. During an interview for the dance-off show, John stalks off stage as he gets worked up as she's talking about marriage. We get a load of old-school Arrow misunderstanding and secret-keeping in this conversation, which I was, like, not super jazzed about, but they turn it around, so that's fine. Sarah continues to follow Eva, who tries to trick her into going into, I don't know, a treehouse or something. Who knows? I couldn't tell what they were.
Treehouse of Horrors, yeah.
Treehouse of Horrors, yeah. But Sarah kicks her ass, saying that she knows her Eva. Mick arms the weapons on the ship, and Nox, in response to detecting the weapons lock, I guess, calls in his fleet. Eva and Mick also have an Arrow moment out in the corridor where she yells at him for being an idiot.
It's Arrow talk about all the way around in this.
There's a lot of Arrow going on. Yeah. DJ S'more gave Nox and Zarya the same song so that she'd look lame since he was going to go up first. Zarya and John talk out their feelings just before he's supposed to go. She's supposed to go on. And then he joins her on stage to do a singing song. Do the winning song.
You know, like you do.
Yeah, Nox surrenders, like accepts his defeat, and his fleet leaves. We get a Men in Black gag as the head of the suit opens up to reveal that Nox is just like a really tiny dude. And then Mick steps on him.
Wow.
I don't think it was
really sort of dark, I guess.
Yeah, I thought it was dark.
Yeah, Mick is...
He seemed like he was going to be like a nice guy. I was wondering if he was going to stick around.
Yeah,
he knows me. Yeah.
Only on the bottom of Mick's shoe.
Yeah. Let's get to that, because I want to talk a lot about Mick, just because he's a dick now. A badly poisoned Sarah stumbles into the room that Everett was trying to trick her into, and some dude is setting up dinner and says he's been waiting for her. So I guess we'll discover what that's about. Hopefully he's got an anti-poison. Because that would be handy.
That would be handy.
Mick, man. What the hell, Mick?
Yeah. Yeah, he's suddenly...
I think it's
a little too much to handle.
He's regressing a little bit to his earliest days. And I understand there's two things happening here. One of which is, you know, he does... I think he misses Sarah and doesn't have the tools to explain that. Mm-hmm. And also, as we find out, it's because his daughter has gone off to college and is, you know, essentially ghosting him. Not ghosting him, but, you know, being a kid at college, having a good time, doesn't want to talk to her parents. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that from an emotional standpoint, as long as this is the point at which we do the turnaround and we aren't like dwelling on that. I think it makes sense in terms of his character. He's not a guy who's often super in touch with his emotions, and it would make sense that he doesn't entirely process them in the way that we expect.
But he was writing romance books.
This is true.
I was starting to like him more as a guy that was kind of in touch with his emotions, but had a gruff representation of them.
And he gets there, honesty. You know, he gets there at the end of the episode a bit, you know.
But not until after he steps on harmless little guy.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought that was unnecessary.
It was really unnecessary.
I also understood the moment. Like, I can imagine being in the writer's room for that one, and they're like, oh, should Mick step on the guy? It's like, yeah, Mick's kind of got to step on the guy, right? Like,
was it on purpose? I can't tell.
I'm unclear. So. Probably, yeah.
It looked like a pretty heavy footfall. Like, it didn't look like a mistake when the foot came down on him.
He didn't say oops.
Yeah. On the other hand, the other badass of this this episode is Lord... What's his name? Knoxville? Knox. I just mean calling him
Lord
Knox.
Lord Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, exactly.
Knoxacrillion or something.
Knoxacrillion.
Okay, yeah, that's right, I stopped. I just studied
he
that.
Was great.
He was amazing.
Yeah.
I really liked him. I even like the... he's honorable in a way, right? Like, it's... he shows up.
He comes to Earth and he wants to kill the guy, just like straight up kill him. And then he decides, they say, no, the rules of the battle are this. And he's like, okay, I'll play by your rules.
Yeah. And he just goes along with it. He's like, no, we do a competition. I fight your leader. And then, you know, I'm now the leader of the world and my guys come and we take over. And that's that. No muss, no fuss, no wars.
It's a misunderstanding too.
That's totally
misunderstanding. He's lovably dumb because he doesn't get it that it's just a reality TV show.
I love it. But I love how game he is to just go along with it. Like,
I enjoyed the bit where he synthesizes all the vocals from like 500 people, and like then he actually does a really great job at singing that song.
Yeah, he does a pretty good job. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah, it's like he put the work in, and he was trying to hurt. Well, he's obviously, his goal is to kill somebody and then take over the world, but not in a bad way. Like, it's just kind of what they do. I also kind of like that they're he gives a little speech about not being having a gender binary on his world.
Yeah.
Their world, I guess. Yeah. It's just I liked him.
I liked
and that when he revealed himself to be a little guy, I was like, oh, he's cute. Maybe they'll just keep him around. And then, no, right.
that CGI effect is way too expensive, guys. And I like that they was sort of they had this sort of Terminator Predator mishmash going on, right? He's got like the bones around his neck, but he's also got like the robot suit, and you know, anyways.
Yeah. So it's typical of this show, using blending in a bunch of put a bunch of pop culture stuff in a blender and then see what comes out.
There was a call out this week to Thor Ragnarok. In reference to Sarah on the alien planet, which I thought was pretty good. I like anything when they bring back DJ S'more Money. That character to me, I realize it is a one note joke, but it is a funny note.
Yes.
What was the deal with the assistant? Like, she kept appearing.
Yeah, I don't really understand what was going on there.
I was thinking like she was going to be revealed to be magical or be what's her name, Astra.
Oh right, oh. Right. Man, but no, I think it's just she's just creepy ninja assistant.
Yeah, I think that's it. Also, she slept with DJ S'more, right? Is that what we take from that?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And the utility of the character is basically to have that part where she tells John to keep making Zari unhappy because that's a story.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's a sad, sick, depressing world, right? Like, if there's a villain here, it's probably not Nox, it's probably her.
We don't get necessarily a resolution on that, right? Because the whole thing with Zari is like she wants to rebuild her company, which has sort of gone in the tank while she's been gone. Yeah. And we don't, and like there's a whole tension over like being famous, right? Mm-hmm. And like her image. And they kind of weave that into her relationship with John, but I think they don't do the best job of sort of like they kind of conflate those two things, but also don't really resolve one of them, because she's willing to like say like, oh, you know, we'll make a real go of this with John. But like it doesn't really resolve the fact that she is the sort of apparent crave for fame that she has. I don't know. It was a little uneven in that respect for me, but I enjoyed it, the relationship between her and Constantine. In terms of how that evolved.
Yeah, they kind of fumbled that a little bit for sure. I did like that when she approaches the lineup just to be all glam and famous so that the other guys can sneak in. I like that she has to steal herself. Mm-hmm. Like she takes a breath and kind of gets into character.
Mm-hmm.
That at least gave me something to hang my hat on. Like, she's not actually vapid. She's, you know, it's a show. It's all a show. And, that, you know, makes me feel better about her. The bit where she talks to her mom about John being a fling, I don't know. It was kind of weird. That was a very classic. I mean, I keep saying Arrow, but I mean, name your show, right? Like, it may as well be Three's Company. Like, somebody
over here. Exactly, somebody else. Yeah. Play the hits, guys.
Yeah. But I was very glad that they resolved it, and I even liked the way they resolved it. I thought he was going to play a lot more punk, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, that was fun. I don't know why the other contestants came out.
Some of this episode
out,
seemed ham-fisted, I guess is the...
Yeah, sure. I liked some of... I mean, I enjoyed that I enjoyed that they make him up in the punk outfit and then continuously refer to him as the street magician, which is hilarious. Also, he does look like Chris Angel.
He looks a lot... Well, he's got the black eyeliner.
I enjoyed that part of it. But I agree that this is a very broad episode in terms of spiel. But I will say, they really commit to the reality show thing.
Oh my God, they really do. Yeah.
Yeah. And full,
there were times when I was like, yeah, I would say so too. And the fact that obviously they couldn't do a studio audience. They made the screen thing work.
It's 2045.
It's a bunch of film zoomed. Yeah. And I would get tired of it. I get tired of the gag, I guess, like thinking this is dumb. And then all of a sudden something would happen that would pull me back into it. I mean, like John, like her singing that song and then John walking out with the guitar.
Yeah, right.
And then Birad and his mother are standing there and Nox the Krillian just comes up behind them.
Just hanging out.
There are some
like the dude is just backstage hanging out.
It's the grace notes, I think, that save this episode, right? Which is little bits here and there where it's like, remember, this is Legends, it's a super wacky show, And right. we are just committing to that throughout the entire thing. That even if the A plot does seem a little bit melodramatic, they are yeah. still like they're it runs through the DNA of the show such that you can have a little shot just like Knox just watching in the background and be like, yeah, okay, that's it's weird, yeah. but okay.
right.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Well, I don't know if I liked it a lot. I liked their commitment to the bit a lot. I liked that honestly, they probably just wanted to do, hey, let's do musical stuff. They're like, somebody had the idea to do a reality show, and then they were just like, yeah, we can have singing and dancing and it'll be fun and like do these big choreographed numbers. That'd be awesome. And while that's not particularly for me, I liked it. I enjoyed it. And it is a show that is having fun with itself, and good on them, you know, like not all of them are going to land for me perfectly. Mm-hmm. But it was apparent they were enjoying what they were doing, which
there were you know,
there's a fun and an enjoyment for yes, the viewer just yeah, from that. Yeah. You know, like
there were a handful of bits I thought were really well executed and funny lines. I enjoyed the bit about The Rock being president,
which could happen.
Sure,
I mean crazier things have happened.
It would be not that bad, really.
Yeah,
it
probably
honestly.
Would be.
Thor, the Thor reference as mentioned before, the sight gag with the when they're in the like coffee shop or whatever and she just eats the cup and they're like yeah whatever cups are edible. Oh, yeah, like, that was a good that was a good bit. And then my two favorite lines were one with the guy referenced in the when after Gary has eaten all the Avas and says no why did you taste so good. And the bit with this is a throwaway line that I had to back up to hear again, but there when John sets more money on fire and they try to put him out, they throw vodka on him.
Yeah,
and he yells, "No, yeah. S'more Money vodka is an accelerant."
Yeah,
it's in the background, but it's pretty funny.
He's got the brand. Like he uses the brand name for it too. Also, that sort of disturbed me. Like having that light on fire—that's like Michael Jackson level damage, man. That's no good.
No, it's like it's magical fire. It's fine.
I mean, yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really concerned. I enjoyed it. I had a split moment of like, ooh, that's.
I enjoy that.
That is a horror show.
Of course, he has a backup head.
Yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
I mean, the commitment to the bit of we will never see his face. I think is a strong bit.
I do. I kept thinking like when it caught fire. You know, step one, oh, that's bad. And then I'm like, okay, get that thing off your head. And he just doesn't do it.
He's not going to do that. That's not who he is. He is DJ's
like more money. I like it when he comes out too and he's like not a ripped guy. He's just like a normal looking dude with a s'more on his head, which is awesome.
Exactly.
We have another Piper Award here.
Oh. Do we?
To hand out. Yeah, the host was,
you look
was
familiar.
On Arrow. Was on an episode of Arrow. He was on the Inmate 4587 episode as Mr. X, who I don't remember at all.
Oh, yeah. I have no.
And then he was also in Supernatural.
Oh.
Oh, well, maybe that's where we know him, Dan, because I was looking at that guy. I'm like, I know that
who
guy.
Who hasn't been?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's been on.
He looked a little like, what's his face? The Question.
Quentin? Yeah.
Quentin. He looked a little bit like Quentin, yeah.
He also looked like, what's that comedian? Paul Scheer? Is it Paul Scheer?
Paul Scheer.
Yeah, he
like
reminded
Paul
me a little bit of him.
Paul
also, Scheer apparently...
gets in a car crash with the principal from, Community.
Oh, the Dean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, Dean.
Yeah. He also apparently played an observer in two episodes of Fringe. So
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he's definitely got an observer head.
Yeah, exactly. It's a special head. Yeah. Ooh, creepy.
Just that he's bald. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, but they all have like a little bit of a weird look to them.
Yeah.
I didn't know you'd watch that show, John. That's awesome.
No, I watched that whole thing. I actually have been thinking about rewatching that show.
Me too.
I saw it through the first time and enjoyed it, even though it was really kind of uneven and like didn't know where it was going until it came up with the sort of central premise, which was...
Yeah.
Second season or something like that. I can't remember
something
exactly.
like that. It lands a little late, but when it's there, exactly, it's there, and it's pretty cool. And the cast is great. In fact, I keep confusing Ava for the woman that was.
The
whoever I forget the character's name, but who was on Fringe. But they have a similar look and sort of facial structure, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see
good
that.
Show. Anyway, I guess we're talking about that now rather than this one, because what are we going to do?
College,
just recap?
My college roommate was in that show.
Really?
Yeah. He played a doctor in one episode. He played like an evil doctor in one episode.
Wild.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool. Evil doctors. Those are like mm-hmm. a dime a dozen. Yeah. That's awesome.
Anna Torv, yeah.
Anna Torv. Yeah. I look at her. Doesn't she look like Ava?
There is some resemblance for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could also just be the attitude. Like, she also dressed in, you know, right. FBI suits and.
Right.
And
yeah. And like I wouldn't be surprised if Ava's character is based a little bit on.
Could be. Yeah. I forget the character's name.
Olivia.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I was going to say, I was just thinking of a totally random tidbit relating those two actresses.
Wow.
Which was, there was a TV show, I think, remade. It started as an Australian TV show called Mistresses. That was Anna Torv was in that. I believe they remade in the U.S. that Jess McCallan, who plays Ava, was in. And I was suddenly looking up.
Really?
To see, did they play the same character? And I'm thinking, probably not. But it was still kind of, just a random sort of like, yeah, I feel like there's some connection there because they do look very similar.
Yeah, that's a deep cut, man. I can't really. I don't know where you got.
I
that
don't know
from,
where I have. Yeah. I have a brain for these sorts of things. What can I say?
Well.
It could be that is a lot of useless information in there. The space that is used up that could be used for something more helpful.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I mean, you talk about superhero shows for a living. So,
that's right.
You know, that's a handy skill to have. Do you want to just do the ritual?
Yeah, let's ritual and we'll talk about some other stuff. Guy, go ahead. Why don't you?
If we kept talking about this, all we're going to do is recount jokes and be like, hey, do you remember when this happened? Do you remember? Which is like the most boring thing.
Yeah, right.
Cares.
Right,
go watch the show and enjoy the jokes if you want. This episode was fun. Probably a John Jr. for me. Edging towards Biff. Like the hovering around that kind of thing. And I think I'm going to say John Jr. only because I so infrequently give them out, you know?
Right.
And this episode let me down. I don't know if it let me down, but it didn't excite me as much as I kind of wanted to. There's a bunch of stuff I really liked about it. Falling back on the old tropes kind of turned me off a little bit, but I had fun, but just not maximum fun. So
not maximum fun. That's right.
Yeah. Sorry, it's definitely distinct, not maximum fun. Yeah.
Distinct podcast network, no relation.
Distinct legal entity. Yeah. No affiliation. John Jr.
Is it John? You wanna?
I guess I'm gonna come down there. I was gonna say like a Sarah Jr. because it was someplace in between. But if I have to give a distinct one, I'll say John Jr. as well. Because some of it felt a little forced, a little ham-fisted, not forced, but just like huge swings at things . Overall, I had fun watching the episode, just like you. But there were parts where I was rolling my eyes a little bit. I guess I don't know. Yeah. And I think most of it had to do with like Mick, and then sometimes the game show thing got a little bit, the reality TV show thing got a little bit tiresome. But it was okay. It was good.
Yeah, I think I'm with John on this one. It is, I guess I will just stick with the John Jr. like guy and say, I think what the big thing that makes me knock it down a bit is I can tell when an episode is holding my interest. And while all the production value was there and was good, it didn't have quite enough of a solid scaffolding to lay it on. Like the outward facing part of it was great. Like the production values were good. Everything looked really good. The commitment to the reality bit was good. It just didn't have much of a story to hang on. And then that kind of is the thing that lets me go like, all right, I'm looking at my phone again rather than paying attention to what's going on the screen. And so that for me is that's where you get dinged a bit. So yeah, I agree with you guys that this was not their most.
Yeah.
It's not American. Let's put it this way. Execution was really good. The premise was only so-so. And I think that's where it comes down. It's like they always seem to execute at a high level, but sometimes the premises are better than others.
Yeah, and I think the purpose of this episode, in terms of the season arc, I suppose, was to work out the relationship between John and Zarya and have them officially be dating. A thing I do not care about, because they are not children, and they're grown-ups, and they could work out. You know, that...
Right, yeah, right.
We don't need an inciting incident to, like, have this kind of crap go on. Like, you know, and I kind of wish that they just continue doing what they were doing until it was obvious that they just wanted to be together. Or have, a 2-minute conversation. And I know a lot of the premises, especially of the shows we watch, are predicated upon the idea that nobody speaks to anybody else unless it's at gunpoint. But it's like, it gets a little old after a while.
Right, right. And the only other, the B-plot sort of thing is, you know, them finding a lead, essentially, to track down where Sarah is. And it's like a long way to go so that Mick can draw a picture of Kayla, the alien, right? And it's like, that was long... There's a lot of episodes just to get to that point of like, oh, now we know where to go next, right? So
and they could have used that guy. They could have used
him for information. Yeah, I totally that frustrated me.
And he just like steps on him.
Yeah, they totally mentioned where he was. Yeah,
that's an example, right? I mean, like it's funny, but it doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, you want to be funny. I appreciate that the show is funny and does a great job of being funny, but you also want us to believe that it's sort of real, right? I mean, like, believe that the stakes are real. And if the stakes are real, that move doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And Sarah's story was pointless. Like, it.
Yeah, I think it's just getting us very literally a point A to point B. Yeah. I did think
it was very much like an Arrow flashback.
Yeah, I will say the one thing that was well executed about that was that I was convinced that the Ava was a hallucination, and it convinced me of that so much that I was genuinely surprised when Gary unmasked the troops and had him realize they were Ava clones. I was like, oh, that was a nice bit of misdirection there.
Yeah, like you said, well executed. Yeah. Just
not terribly interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you executed something well. It was not particularly compelling, really. So,
exactly.
I don't know what to say. Yeah. Can somebody remind me what the heck is with all the Ava clones? I was trying to remember, and I can't be bothered to keep track of all the weird crap that this show has done.
Ava was originally a clone from the future, right? From some kind of a future. And she was like an assistant, like a model that you could buy, you know, like a constantly recreated thing,
like a sentient Siri kind of thing. Okay,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And her particular, I forget what, like, she was brought back in time, and then
Rip brought her back, and
had her a fake family, right,
had her memory erased,
for some reason. I don't remember why.
to join the Legends, or to run the Time Bureau. I think
that sounds right.
Anyway.
Okay, well, whatever. I'm going to forget that by next week anyway. So.
Yeah.
Thanks for the recap.
The gag is just that she's a clone.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But, well, because it feels weird that there's a planet full of them. Also, I don't know how he thought all the other ones were... Like, why? That makes no sense. When he takes the helmet off, he immediately assumes it's a Sarah clone, and he ate all other Sarah clones? Ava clones? Why did he? Why? Why? Like, he just unmasked one of them.
Well, why did you make just
not
one?
Just a? Well, yeah, no. But why? Why didn't he just think that? Like, oh my god, here's Ava.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, because they were behaving poorly, I guess, and they fought. They fought the Ava clones in the future. The at some point, the Ava clones are programmed to attack them. And so, it made sense to me.
It didn't bug me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, did it bug me? No. Like, I don't. Yeah, I don't need anything to really make sense. I was just kind of curious about what. I thought I should know something that I didn't know, and now that I know it, I don't care to know it. I guess is where I'm going with that. All right. Okay. I think that's all the in-depth knowledge mining I have to do on this particular episode.
Shall we do some superhero sweep?
Sure.
Let's go for it.
We have probably something to talk about. I don't know. We'll find something.
We make something up.
We'll make the news, John. I was going to mention, let's see, I continued to watch Batwoman, which continues to be good, weirdly enough. So I've been enjoying, I'm behind on a bunch of the other CW shows, but as far as superhero shows go, I'm still enjoying that show for some reason that I don't entirely get, but it's another show that there are a couple shows that I watch every once in a while. And I think this show is punching above its weight class. And Batwoman right now is one show that I feel like it, given all the things with, like, you know, obviously the production budgets it has and the strictures of all that, like, it's doing better with those things than it should be doing. And I mean, I've felt that way about Arrow in the past, you know, seasons one and two of that show, I think, especially if you go back and look, are like, yeah, this show is doing better than it should be for what it is. Legends frequently, first season of Flash, probably, like, a lot of these, you know, are cases where it's like the deck stacked against you, but you're still pulling out a pretty good show.
Yeah. I should go check that out, because what I caught up on The Flash the other day.
Yeah, I would do this instead. I would catch up on Batwoman instead of The Flash, just to say.
Yeah. I don't. There's a reason we don't talk about that one that much, and it's just not. It's difficult to pick on it because it keeps doing what it's been doing, but it's doing it at a lower quality than it used to do. Like, it's doing the same thing over and over, which gets tired.
If you still enjoy it, good for you, but it's
exactly. I don't want to yuck your yum, but it's just boring. So to me,
I believe as we are recording this, Superman and Lois returns tonight, I think. Tuesday, we're recording this.
Yeah, I've been waiting.
So that's cool. That's glad to see that that's coming back. And I think I sent you guys a link, but maybe I'll put a link to it in the show notes too, to a long interview with David Ramsey, who is going to appear in a bunch of the different CW shows, as well as directing episodes of several of them over the next few months. So they're still playing a bit coy over, like, his whole, like, where that character was left. But I'm glad to see them picking up the thread of that character, just because any chance to see Dig again is always great.
It seems so long ago.
It does. Yeah. Well, it was a long time ago, right? Like, what was that? Like 2 years ago?
I think it was like a year and a half, right? Didn't it end? Because they did a short season. That's right. So they did that short in December. Season. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But it was a long time.
Like,
I mean, there was
years ago.
There was a pandemic in the middle. Let's put it that way.
I know. Well, that's the thing. Like, yeah, March last year was 6 months long.
Yeah. So. He's also apparently appearing on Legends as not John Diggle, but there's a picture of him in that article where he is dressed as a cowboy with a big, very fake looking black mustache.
I already know my rating for that one is John Senior. I've already decided.
Yeah, so I'm here for that. I really enjoy David Ramsey, and I'm glad that he is finding a niche for himself in these shows, because he's delightful.
The name of the episode is Stressed Western.
Okay, he looks awesome in this photo you just sent.
He does.
They are suggesting he might be playing Bass Reeves, the historic first black deputy marshal, who's been mentioned in a bunch of things recently. I think he shows up in Watchmen. Isn't he referenced in Watchmen?
Yeah, he does. And I think he was a bassist of Lone Ranger, something like that. Like,
I don't know. You know, he showed up in, when I was rewatching Justified, because they're marshals, he gets a mention at some point about his history there. Yeah. So anyways, that seems cool.
That is cool. HBO is doing a Green Lantern show.
Yeah. Not a lot known about it right now, though. They have done some casting, I think.
They have done some casting, and I forget who they cast.
Guy Gardner.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of talk about
that. Yeah. Just his background. He's a dick. The actor, just the character.
Guy Gardner.
But it's like a whole Green Lantern core thing, right? Where they're
right. I think that's the impression that I got from the article. I think people freaked out because they're like, oh, you're doing him. Oh, please don't do him. But from reading the article, it seemed like, he's in it, but there's like a whole bunch of other ones too. I mean, it's the whole group.
Right. Yeah. They're doing Alan Scott. They're doing Bree Jarda, who I don't know. Yeah, so I mean, yeah, that's the, so the interesting.
I wouldn't assume that it's a show that focuses on Guy Gardner. Just
yes,
they cast
I agree. Part of me keeps thinking, are they doing a super backdoor thing where John Diggle makes his way into that show as John Stewart? But I also that is way too much credit to give anybody at this point.
Yeah.
What is the relationship between the CW and HBO? Are they there any connection
at
all?
They're both different universes, right?
Like, yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Right.
There's no way they're having the legend show up on HBO.
No. Like,
no. Yeah. I mean, there's some because. Yeah, I have no idea how that works
this,
now.
All this stuff got sold too, right?
Well, yeah. Well, they just got spun off because HBO, AT&T has just spun off Warner,
right.
Time Warner.
Right.
And the Which CW owns all the
is. DC stuff.
The CW is still partly owned by Warner Brothers and partly owned by CBS/Viacom, I guess.
It's like you know, the minute I think it can't get more complicated.
Yeah, each own half of it. So basically Viacom and AT&T/Warner Media each own half of the CW. So there is some relationship, I guess I would say, but I wouldn't expect them to be any way connected.
Yeah, okay. So it's not like the offices are on one floor and then HBO is like floor up kind of thing and they can just go and chat. Yeah, okay.
I mean, they could if they really wanted to, let's put it that way, but I don't think they have a strong like impetus to do that right now.
Yeah. Also, when you're spinning up a new show for HBO, you probably want it to be, obviously you want it to be a Game of Thrones sort of level hit, right? I don't think you're going to get that out of Green Lantern, but you would want to try. And tying your hands to a casting choice made in season one of Arrow may feel as a showrunner for like a premium HBO show. Yeah, I know. I really love David Ramsey, and I think he would do a great job. I just as a showrunner for HBO, if I was like, oh, and by the way, you're stuck with this guy.
Right.
You know, ultimately, I think he's cool, and it would work out. But I could see pushing back on that and saying, like, you know what? I really would just want to do my own thing and work it all out as we go. Right. Yeah.
And because and then you're tied to all the Arrow lore.
Too, yeah, you're tied to stuff that you should really have to be tied to,
which is a lot more baggage than David Ramsey.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, he's he's great. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Just
he is.
I wouldn't necessarily want to be tied to that stuff.
I was going to mention so we did get a airing month anyways for the What If Marvel series, which will be the MCU show that follows Loki. So Loki starts June 9th. They moved it up to a Wednesday. We'll air on Wednesdays for some reason. Sorry, July 9th? I thought it was June.
Is it June?
I think it's June.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of Black Widow. Yeah.
Loki is June 9th, and that will run for 6 weeks, which means it finishes basically halfway through July, right around the time Black Widow comes out, which means then, again, there's like a couple weeks break probably before What If starts airing, because they're going to space that out perfectly so that you never have time to unsubscribe from Disney Plus.
I was just about to say that Disney Plus is killing it in terms of like keeping people around. The shows are legitimately good. They just are. They're good. Mandalorian's good. WandaVision is good. Falcon and Winter Soldier is good. I mean, obviously, they've all got high points and low points. But, I mean, they're all you want to watch all of them. What's airing now? Bad Batch?
Bad Batch, yeah.
Great. Well, pretty good. You know, go listen to Dan's show with Tony. But I have enjoyed waking up on a Friday morning, coming into my office, turning all the lights off and like watching the latest Disney Plus thing, you know, and there's always maybe there's a week in between where you just get like the making of something, but then pretty soon something. It's never long enough for you to think and then remember to go and actually cancel your subscription.
Right, you're going to miss something, right? You can't cancel it for a month. Yeah, that's the Disney Plus guarantee there.
Yeah, up here in Canada we have Stars on Disney Plus too. So I just watched. Don't ask me why, but I watched Alien Covenant the other night on Disney Plus.
Well, if I can't ask why, that takes a lot of questions. Yeah,
well, because
it's not bringing it up.
It has the entire Alien catalog, and why I picked that one to watch, I could not tell you. But you know, so yeah, that they're nailing it. Paramount Plus, on the other hand, are they calling it that? I don't know.
Yes, they are calling it that.
So. Yeah, I think that's what it's called now. Yeah.
We got to get rid of these pluses and brand names. Like, this is...
Yeah,
it's terrible. It's like Crystal Pepsi or something. It's like, this is... Well, you know when you see, like, a name of a product and you can tell what decade it was from? The plus is a huge indicator. Yeah,
definitely like, the 2010s,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, the right. 2010s, yeah. For sure.
Oh, God, remember that?
Everything was a plus.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and their solution just appears to be, I guess, all we've got is Star Trek, so...
Well, they actually, it's actually fascinating to see because, you know, as someone who follows a lot of the TV stuff more closely, they're starting to move over some of the shows on CBS that have occasionally like had ratings dips, but still have like core audiences, like where there's like, you know, people who follow a show, but maybe it's not a big enough hit to keep it on network TV. Some of those are likely getting moved over to Paramount Plus instead, as a way of convincing people to sign up, right? So, like...
That's cool.
Yeah, I think it's a smart move, right? Because it means they have more room on their schedules to put in things that, you know, they hope will appeal to wider audiences.
Wider audiences.
Yeah.
But can also get money for the shows they are still wanting to make, and people will pay to see those shows because they're fans of those shows, a la Star Trek, too, right? Like, Star Trek's the perfect example of the flagship property because...
Yeah.
It may not appeal widely enough. I mean, I find it surprising they wouldn't, but it's definitely going to get people to pay for that service.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, that sort of approach, had it been around available at the time, would have saved something like Firefly, which had a diehard audience, and then just no way. And were enough people watching that on, you know, that for any number of reasons.
Yep. Yep.
Airing order was a big one. But anyway. So, yeah, that's.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. And in fact, that just gives more people jobs in the industry, which is nice.
Yeah.
I know that's tangential to our interest in it, but...
It's more people working. I don't know. I mean, it's just, it creates more. It means the industry survives better, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it also means that you can come up on maybe a smaller show and hone your talent and your art. And then move on to like bigger productions after, you know, like it's farm teams effectively, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies that older movies that we have rewatched, I rewatched Logan.
That's a good movie.
Over the last couple of days, and that is just still so good. I mean, it's not that old or anything. It's not like a classic, but it was. Just it's so compelling and it's gut-wrenching. It's the kind of it's hard to watch in some points,
right.
Of course. It's so violent and so many bad things happen to the people that you care about in that movie. But it's so well done. It's just great. So
it is easily the top of the Fox Marvel movies.
It's definitely that. And I'm watching it again over the last few days. I feel like it might just a lot of people have said this, but that it's probably just the best superhero movie ever made. I mean,
it's
Superman's
there.
Really good. Superman's very good too.
Superman 77 is really good.
I mean, I think those two, you know, obviously they're cut from very different cloth, but both absolutely delightful.
I agree.
I like Batman Begins and Iron Man.
I like it too. I don't think it's as good as either of those two movies.
No, Batman Begins is a pretty by the numbers kind of thing, and
especially the bad guy isn't quite. I mean, the bad guy's good actually, and he works really well in that movie, but he's not as strong a bad guy as.
No,
he could be.
And Logan works really well in that. I don't think he could have. Come out with Logan back in 2000, like before you did the X-Men.
Yeah,
you could not have done Logan.
You had to slog through all those terrible Wolverine movies.
to get to
the promised land of Logan.
I mean, the good news is, like, knowledge of basically none of those movies really matters.
Yeah, I mean, you probably want to watch the X-Men movies.
But if you know who Wolverine was,
at least a bunch of them. Yeah,
yeah. If you know Wolverine and Professor X are, that's really all that matters.
Right.
Yeah,
I
think my point was not just that you need to have watched the X-Men in order to understand these characters. We need to have had like a decade full of superhero shows or movies of all.
That's true.
All your Batmans, your X-Men, all of that. We needed to have superheroes established as a thing to see. Yeah. To
what
see
happens
these
when
two
they're old,
old
and
exactly
decrepit?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's the Dark Knight of Wolverine, basically.
The long dark night of Wolverine.
The long dark night, yeah, long day's journey into the night of Wolverine.
I'd watch that.
I would watch that, yeah. I hope he doesn't come back.
It is a real Eugene O'Neill kind of movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
No, see,
yeah, it really is, yeah.
I was going to say, Jackman, I think, you know, he before the MCU started, I think he was about as close as possible to having, you know, that situation where you have one character who defines, you know, a role, right? I mean, Batman, there were a lot of different people who had played Batman by that point. Several people had played Superman by that point. But basically, nobody else has ever really played Wolverine in live action, right?
Right.
And he is synonymous with that. With that character now, and he really got to see him through for the entire
despite the bad movies, the, you know, the few bad movies that he was in as that character,
he's usually good.
He was always terrific. I mean, I loved him immediately in the first X-Men movie.
He's the best part of that movie.
He didn't quite look like, you know, like he wasn't a short little, you know, like,
yeah, but who cares?
He didn't quite look like the character as I imagined him. He really nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, that introduction when he's in the woods and is it Canada? Fighting? Is he in Canada or Alaska?
Yeah. He's in Canada. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Canadian boy. I couldn't remember if it was Alaska just because whatever, you know. But
I'm pretty sure it's Canada. Yeah.
But yeah, that introduction is awesome. Like when he's in the bar and like the guys go to threaten him and he wipes the floor.
And
the way they
do the thing that they do in the comic books where he's mentoring some young kid, female.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they use Rogue instead of like Kitty Pryde, and it works perfectly.
Yeah, it's great, really, really great.
I was trying to count up how many movies he has been in.
It's too many.
Hold on,
it's a lot.
Oh my god. Oh, sorry. I have to share with you I went to Google and I typed in how many movies has Hugh Jackman played Wolverine, and Google, not being great at parsing regular express or like natural language, it has replied with at least 58. I was like, I can't argue with that. It seems accurate.
It seems right. Yeah, doesn't it? I think that might be right.
Yeah.
I want to say it's probably about 8 or 9, though, I think.
It's got to be around there, yeah. We could try to figure it out.
So, yeah, I mean, there's the first three X-Men. There's the two Wolverine movies.
Three if you include Logan, so that's six.
And then there's Logan. And then the cameo in
First Class. Days of Future Past.
Then he appears in Days of Future Past. And doesn't he appear in...
It says he cameos in Apocalypse.
9.
Does he cameo in Apocalypse? I can't remember.
I think it suggests it suggests that he does, and then he appears in like a photo cameo in Deadpool and like reused footage in Deadpool 2.
Yeah. Okay. So 9.5. Yeah. I really like that he and Ryan Reynolds seem like pretty good pals.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They have like an ongoing like bits with them like fake pimping feud. Each other's products, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for them. All right. Any last things that we should discuss before we wrap up here?
I just want to remind people that we are selling t-shirts.
That's right.
And as I think I mentioned last week, I got mine. It is the TVA logo from the Loki trailer, and it looks fantastic. I have been wearing the hell out of it since I got it. Probably, you know, bothering my family. And you can find it on cottonbureau.com if you just search for TVA, and you can support the show by buying one, and we would appreciate it.
All right, there you go.
Oh wait, I forgot to explain the rating system. Well, wait, we did.
Well,
we had,
we're out
we
of
had
time,
a request,
right?
Yeah.
We well, do you know another what? Hour.
Well, you know what? While how about I just start explaining it and you can just fade out.
play the music as it goes. The rating system was first founded in 1742.
Just roll the credits, yeah. Okay, you know what? Forget it. I'll do it next week. I'll remember to do it next week. So, yeah.
Save it for next week. All right. Well, that is the end of our show for this week. As always, I would like to thank my co-host for being here. Guy English, always a pleasure.
You are a biff.
Thank you. John Moltz.
Which is good.
Oh, that's good. Thank God. Woo! John Moltz.
I want you to know that if either of your heads open and an alien comes out, I will not step on it.
Okay.
That's the John Maltz guarantee.
What if it's one of those things from Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan?
Well, that I would step on.
Step the heck on that.
I guess it's situational.
That's what I like.
Well,
to
I want it to be clear, you know. I don't want to make
the rules of this game.
I don't want to make firm rules about
SETI eel. You got to step on a SETI eel.
You got to step on a SETI eel.
That's just a rule. Thank you, everybody out there, for reading along with us and following our show. We will, of course, be back next week to continue our discussion of this season of Legends of Tomorrow. That will be Legends of Tomorrow Season 6, Episode 4, entitled Bay of Squids. So there you go. Something to look forward to.
I'm actually excited about that.
Thanks so much for sticking with us and reading all the transcripts. We'll see you next week.